You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. No Doug this week, so I'm sitting in the big host chair. I'm Tim Keller, and along with me is the man himself, Tyler Gunther. Tyler, how have you been? How's week, week 11 treated you?
Week 11. And it's funny because kind of the midweeks, I get lost in all of it, and I don't pay as much attention as I should. And the midweeks are the weeks that matter. But this year, with the quarantine and the family being here and having three, and now the youngest, legit just getting into everything. She's doing this thing where she'll take anything she can that somebody else is using, take it away, pull her hand away from everybody else and run and take off. And nice. She laughs. So she's at that stage where she's doing that. But no, the middle weeks, I kind of just, I slept off, and now I'm in a lot of like sixth or fifth seeds that are on the edge of the playoffs, and I need to really buck up. And this week was actually full. I was actually fully invested in football, and that hasn't happened since probably week two for me. And you know, I usually set my phone up in the kitchen. I put it on one of those phone stands, and I'll have an AirPod thing in my ear, and then I'll roll throughout the day. And that's what I did today, and it was kind of nice. So yeah, I mean, today's slate of games was great. I mean, there was one big injury that we will hit that absolutely was.
Yeah, that was terrible. It was terrible to see.
It felt like somebody punched me in the gut.
Yeah.
But also, for anybody who doesn't know, we're not live anymore.
Well, we're recording. We're just no longer live on the internet.
Yeah, we're not going to do live because we want to give you the best content we can. And, you know, after hair and makeup, we're so focused on just looking good, and we're just looking at ourselves. I mean, you should see Tim without makeup right now. It's
hideous.
He's it really is. Actually, if you guys do miss Tim, he's got this Eminem look to him tonight. He's got this.
I do have the beanie.
He's got a beanie on, and I don't know if he's just hiding the pain from his Philadelphia Eagles, which we'll get to.
I'm numb.
But we're not doing the podcast live anymore. But if you do want to ask us questions this night on Sundays, because we are going to go full time again soon, you know, after the playoffs are done, we're going to jump right in the full time. And we have our Patreon up and running. Now the Patreon, you know, we kind of set off, and we want to figure out a good way where we don't get worn out, and yet we can give you the best info and the best bang for your buck. I mean, it's $5. And what you do is after we're done recording, we send the link to our Patreon chat, and you actually get to come in to this video selection, and I will bring you on, and you get to ask away. You're like, we're live right now, and that's what you get to do. You get to come on, you get to ask us questions, and then not only that, Viridian Global, we're going to have a giveaway of a t-shirt every month. One person for our Patreon is going to win a t-shirt, and then our other sponsor, Top Loaders, we're going to have an entry into one of their card breaks every month. So, you know, the first of every month.
And what's that cost to be a Patreon member?
What was that?
What's the cost to be a Patreon member, Tyler?
$5.
$5 a month. T-shirt giveaway. Top Loaders break. Given away once a month. It's a pretty good deal. Plus, come on Sundays. You get the link to the stream. You can jump in the video chat with us. And It's an AMA, literally. It can be football related.
Ask anything. Football
related. So I'm an open book and I got some weird stories to tell. So
he does. I've heard stories. Him.
Yeah. But yeah, Tyler, glad you finally buckled down. You're paying attention. I have a pretty sweet setup at the new house. I have this little office that I call my studio. That's why I got the M&M look. I've been out here recording out of my Book of Rhymes all day.
Beats.
Yeah, just dropping hits, just dropping fire out here. No, I have my two computer monitors set up, and I have the TV, so I get the Red Zone going. I have the two local games going. It's a pretty sweet gig. The wife pulled me away for about 30 minutes at one point, right at the end of the Eagles game, but I knew how that was going to go. So I wasn't too upset.
We all did.
Yeah, wasn't too upset. I missed a garbage time touchdown. Whatever. But yeah, we wanted to kind of just go through the Week 11 games, talk a little bit about the games, maybe some highlights, players that stood out to us. So, hey, Week 11, as every week does, kicks off on Thursday. That was the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. Big win here for the Seattle Seahawks, 28-21. Do you have any takeaways from this game, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this week was based off Kyler and where he ranks in quarterbacks for Superflex and all that. And I think when I started ranking for Nerds, he's been cemented into QB2 for me. It goes Mahomes and Kyler. I am not so worried about Kyler with the throwing like I was with Lamar. Lamar, we were all worried, okay, can he progress as a passer? Because the running, we knew was going to be there, but we knew it was going to drop off a good amount, in which it has. And Lamar does not look like he's progressed as a thrower. And I don't have that worry with Kyler because, you know, he's actually a very accurate passer. He's got a very good arm. And he's more of a pass first type quarterback than he is like Lamar, who's more of a runner than a quarterback. So Kyler, I'm not too worried. And that's why he's my quarterback too in Superflex. But that's probably my main takeaway is, man, Kyler is fantastic. He's a very accurate player.
The most dangerous play in the entire NFL right now, in my opinion, is Kyler Murray taking off out of the pocket.
Oh yeah. You know,
it's almost unstoppable
on the Yellow Brick Road, part of the Lollipop Guild. Kyler Murray, watch out.
I've got another first down for you. Now he's electric. My takeaway is that Seattle receiving attack. You know, I think that the Cardinals tried to do their best to try to take away DK, and you do that, that means Lockett's going to eat. I think he had something like 9 receptions in that game. You know, you can't take them both away, so good luck. Pick your poison. I'm just happy to see Russ finally get to just go out there and sling the ball around the yard. So let's move over here to Sunday. We'll just get it out of the way. The Cleveland Browns, 3 straight weeks, just terrible weather in Cleveland. I'm pretty sure after like November 1st, there's not good weather at all in Cleveland. It's either blowing at like 45-mile-an-hour winds or it's a torrential downpour. Soon it'll be snowing. There'll be like 13 feet of snow on the ground.
And Nick Chubb will be running for like 300 yards. Yeah, and Nick Chubb,
you'll just see this like that movie Tremors where you see kind of the trail of that big weird worm thing under the – that'll be Nick Chubb just running for 300 yards
in the snow. Best running back in the league.
He's an absolute stud. The Eagles did a good job in the first half, bottling both the running backs up, but you can't hold it back.
I mean, Delvin Cook, in my opinion, is the best overall running back in the league right now. Mm-hmm. Nick Chubb is the best pure runner in the NFL.
Great, great vision, great power, great speed. He might not be the fastest running back. He might not be the most powerful running back, but guys that are fast on him aren't as powerful as he is. Guys that are stronger aren't as fast.
Yeah, and he's got that breakaway speed. He's got the speed that he can break away from defenders. Maybe a speedy corner can catch up to him, but he's got the speed. He's got the agility. He's got everything, and I think he's one of those running backs that we could see a longer career in. He seems like somebody that people are okay. He's been in the league for 3-4 years. Let's expect a drop with him. I think he's just going to be consistent.
He might be like 7 or 8 year.
Yeah, if he's the guy who gets 20 carries a game like he did today, that's what he needs. You know, I think he's like 7 for 14, and then I mean he had like a 50 some yard run, which was beautiful.
A beautiful, nasty run. Stiff arm too on that one. My only thing there for Chubb is like, hey, why don't you? you're inside the 10, like put him in the game every once in a while, you know. Kareem Hunt's very nice, but the stepping out of the one last week did cost me a win in a matchup, but
ouch.
It was the right move. It's the right football move. He's not out here making decisions on the football field based on fantasy owners. My biggest takeaway from this game is I think I finally had enough. Yeah. There's no reason to put Carson out there anymore. What's the point of making a division title win this year and getting absolutely rocked by the Buccaneers or the Saints in week one of the playoffs? So, let the football team or the New York Giants or Dallas is actually turning it around. That defense is starting to actually look like it's a real, a real defense. So let one of these other teams win this division and let's look to next year. Let's see what we got in that second round pick of ours. The only other thing I'm going to say about this is I did have Miles Sanders as part of a parlay, took him to hit his over on the rushing at 68.5. He was over 50 at halftime and he ended the game with 66. So, hey, Doug Peterson, use your good players. Stop screwing me out of money.
Yeah. It's a bit, I think Doug Peterson is also to blame here. Carson does not look good. I'm with you. I was a big Carson Wentz fan, but you see it and it doesn't get better at all. He has not gotten better at all. Mm-hmm. He's getting worse. And he makes these one or two good throws that make you go, okay, maybe
it's me on a golf course, just bad hole after bad hole after bad hole. And I finally just rip one and I'm like, there you go. And then I get right back to just double bogeys. You know, it's fun. Yeah.
It doesn't mean you should be in the PGA. It just means you had a good hole.
Yeah. I had that one good shot. And that's what makes me come back next time.
I mean, if you have the chance to get Jalen Hurts somewhere, go ahead and do it, especially in Superflex, because I think he has the capability of rallying the troops, per se.
I don't know if he's the long-term answer as well, but why not see what at least you got? You spend a second round pick on him, find out what you have in him. In actual live game action, give him some starter reps in practice. Just see what you got because this year's lost. Let's look.
Yeah, it's a copycat league, and he's got legs to move around. He can open up the offense. Carson doesn't want to use his legs anymore. It seems he just wants to kind of move around and scramble, and then extend the time where he can get sacked.
Exactly. Speaking of being able to use your legs at the quarterback position, we'll go into our next game. We'll just knock all the pain right out of here for you and I. The New Orleans Saints beat the Atlanta Falcons 24-9. Speaking of unlocking an offense, possibly Taysom Hill. Taysom freaking Hill, when everybody thought it was going to be Jameis to start the week. Then that announcement came out. Taysom Hill is going to get to start. 18 for 23, 233 through the air. Didn't throw any touchdowns, but he ran for two. Any big takeaways for this one?
Oh, man. Just Saints defense is back to being the Saints defense. Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley is as washed as laundry. And I mean, Kelvin Ridley ain't Kelvin Ridley without Julio. That's my Falcons update.
Yeah.
And Julio gets hurt every three games with a lower body injury. Atlanta has a lot of holes they need to fix. And this game was very ugly. I mean, if we could draft a quarterback early and then maybe ship Matt Ryan off to San Francisco.
Matt Ryan to San Francisco. PJ Walker to Atlanta.
I would love a young quarterback.
PJ Walker.
PJ Walker makes the same mistakes Matt Ryan does in the red zone. So let's not get all
PJ Walker is one start, one NFL start into his career. I doubt he's ever got a bountiful load of starter snaps. So I tweeted it out earlier today. I think if this guy got a real shot and got the lion's share of starter snaps in a practice week, I think he'd be good. I'm with you on Todd Gurley. It's I don't think it's coming around.
It's hard to watch.
Yeah. And it stinks for Julio. Julio's overall having a pretty decent year when he's gotten into the end zone a couple times, which has not been Julio's forte for his career. Calvin Ridley kind of needs that, Calvin Ridley can be Batman, but he needs that Robin on the other side. And Russell Gage isn't Robin enough. You know, you can have two Batmans. Julio can definitely play that Batman role. We all knew that, but and it doesn't really matter who's a quarterback. Michael Thomas is getting peppered with targets. So Nine receptions. Well,
he finally had his crazy, crazy drop. He had one go right through his hands today, and I was like, oh, he is human.
Oh, God, I'm trying to remember who else I saw. Somebody else had a drop today. They go, that never happens. But
yeah, it was a weird week.
Let's talk about, okay, you mentioned the injury earlier. Let's talk about the Reds. Oh man, I almost did it. The Washington football team.
Nice.
The Washington football team beat the Cincinnati Bengals 20-9. Joe Burrow took a nasty, nasty hit. He's already tweeted out that his season's done. The ACL is destroyed. And it really stinks. They mentioned it on the broadcast that he was on pace to beat all kinds of rookie quarterback records for, you know, attempts, passes, pass completions, yardage, all those things. Here's all I have to say to the Bengals fans out there. If you're a Bengals fan, you don't want to see this guy get his ACL injured, obviously. You don't want to see that. But this wasn't going to be your year. You weren't going to win the championship. Joe will be back.
Yeah.
So don't be upset. Like, he will be back. He will recover. You know, the ACL 25, 30 years ago was a thing that, oh God, you know, is this guy ever going to play again? It's not that way anymore. These guys will come back. Joe will be back. He'll be better. It's the Bengals' opportunity to finally do the right thing. Get a line in front of this man. Get a line in front of Joe Mixon. You know, they just put Joe Mixon on IR this week. Get him healthy. Get Joe back. Get him healthy. You have Tyler Boyd there. You have T. Higgins, who a little bit of a lighter game today, but has really looked like a stud the past few weeks. He's really grown into his own. I think the inability to participate in the combine really hurt T. Higgins' draft stock in a lot of people's eyes when it came to the dynasty world. The guy's a real deal player, man. My takeaway from here, though, is Gibby, Antonio Gibson. He's a baller, man. He is playing on a team that does not have a ton of firepower, and, you know, almost 100 yards. He put one in the end zone this week. This guy's forcing his way into your starting lineups every week now.
Yeah, Gibson is a baller. Terry McLaurin's one of the best receivers in the league, personally. Yeah. Tyler Boyd is a great buy. I think the whole Bengals team is a great buy. Joe Burrow as well. When you see the injury, you legit were like, oh God, Alex Smith type injury. It looked bad. And it's on the same field Alex Smith got hurt on. Alex Smith is playing right across from him. And, you know, narrative street all around. Thank God it wasn't like that. It sounds like it's an ACL with maybe some MCL damage as well. He avoided a major injury the way this looked. Burrow seems like he's in high spirits. He's a baller. I mean, he was on the cart. He had this face like he was pissed, like he was upset, and not just like, I'm sure he's in a ton of pain, but the fact that he was just thinking about how he's going to miss the season is just like remarkable to me. So Burrow is a huge buy to me. If you're contending and you can deal Burrow and you have to, I get it. But Burrow is going to be back. He's going to have, hopefully, the top left tackle from Oregon lands there. It seems most likely now, because they're not going to win with Ryan Finley. Mm-hmm. So if they get that guy, they get a little, they solidify the interior. Jonah Williams goes to the right side, which he's great at. This line can look completely different, kind of like how the Browns were. Mm-hmm. So Cincinnati, if you can buy Mixon, Boyd, Higgins, he's going to kind of fall off a little bit. These guys you can buy for pretty cheap now because of the Burrow injury. And Burrow, I mean, if you can snag him up, I'd go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not in that, you know, win now window, if you're not in that championship window, you know, you're like Tyler said about, you know, his one team where he's kind of like right there on the cusp. If it's not going to hurt you, your chance of making the playoffs this year, go get him, because next year you got this guy that's going to come back and be ready to rip some things up. You know, you mentioned that look on his face. He knew where he was in these, you know, record book standings of all-time rookies. I think he was hoping to get some of those. So let's move on to the next game. Pretty crappy game, honestly. The Detroit Lions throw up the goose egg here against the Panthers, who threw 20 up on them with a backup quarterback in P.J. Walker. But as I mentioned earlier, P.J. Walker, in my opinion, he's got a little juice to him, 24 for 34, 258. He did throw two picks, threw a touchdown there. My takeaway from this is no Swift, no Galladay. The Lions have nothing.
Swift is a difference maker for this team. Even without Golladay, they were able to move the ball. Swift is the chess piece they need for this offense to move. And it's that was my main look at it. Was like, holy crap, this team is completely fallen on their face without Swift. Swift is a huge difference maker for this team. Now, we're going to talk about Jonathan Taylor. I posted on Twitter. I said, you know, everybody's on the streets hollering for Jonathan Taylor. But you know what's funny is DeAndre Swift's normal average game is Jonathan Taylor's best game. So let's just put it at that. DeAndre Swift is a stud. And I still think he's undervalued just because people see the Lions next to his name. Mm-hmm. And they're like, ugh, no, thank you.
Yeah, still a bit of landing spot bias.
Yeah,
I will say that DJ Moore, 7 for 127,
breakout game,
stud. You know, go get him. Even with the backup, he's just doing stud things.
Also, God, why am I blanking on his first name? For Carolina, Rodney Smith, Minnesota running back, Gopher running back. I loved this guy in college. Absolutely loved his running style. He had a couple bad injuries, though. So I don't think he's the same player as he was when he first was dominating for Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think he is a better running back than Mike Davis. I think he's more explosive than Mike Davis is.
Mike Davis probably has done
quicker,
well.
Quicker than Mike Davis. Yeah. But Mike Davis is a thick boy. So
he is.
I like Rodney Smith a lot. He's easily on your free agent wire. If you have the room, I would like to pick him up because I like him as a player. He is 24 and we all know that the ages will come out, but as a backup to the backup. And if you know, you're in one of those deep leagues, I would love to pick up Rodney Smith.
Absolutely. The next game that came out, the Pittsburgh Steelers 27, the Jacksonville Jaguars 3. I don't know if there's anything I can truly take away from this game other than Deontay Johnson having a monster game, but we all kind of know Deontay Johnson. The only thing I'll say is no one ran the ball for the Jacksonville Jaguars other than Jay Robinson.
He's the good.
Only one to run.
Against the Steelers, he ran 17 for 73. Against the Steelers behind Jacksonville line where they knew that it was James Robinson and you're gonna pretty much go for the run. Mm-hmm. And you're going to let Jake Luton pass and try to pass on you with maybe like man coverage.
I don't know what the Jags are doing. If something happens to James Robinson though, that's going to be,
I don't think they have to worry about it. The next year, this team with Justin Fields is going to be something to kind of look at, especially if James Robinson is the main back. Mm-hmm. This line is a very good run grading offensive mm-hmm. line. They got a weapon like DJ Chark who fits perfect with Justin Fields. If they can get one more weapon with Chenault and Chark, you know, Chenault gets healthy, this team could be scary good.
They still have a lot of work to do on the defensive side, but yeah, they do have some pieces on like offense.
Offensively, yeah.
They do have some pieces
defensively, on offense. Defensively, yeah. They're super young. And yeah, they need to kind of mold those pieces.
I mean, we had James Conner, who has not really run that well versus anybody this year, run for almost 7 yards a carry.
Let's talk about Mapletron with his 10th touchdown this year. The dude is so good.
Yeah,
I loved him, and I was undervalued on him in rookie drafts. I had him as a
everybody mid-second. Was.
Yeah, I had him as like a mid-second rounder. The highest I had him was at a 14, and that was kind of like, am I a little too high on him?
14, honestly, was probably one of the higher grades on him amongst everybody out there. So
yep,
don't beat yourself up too bad on that.
He had 8 targets. Juju did get hurt, but Juju, he's gone. I mean, they're not going to pay Juju. Juju can make some good money elsewhere. And Deontay Johnson and Claypool, and also James Washington next year. If you're looking for kind of a buy right now for 2021, James Washington still has some upside to me. They're going to draft some guy in the third round again and probably hit. But Deontay Johnson is AB. He is the AB replacement, and he looks like it. Mm-hmm. And if he can stay healthy for a full season, this guy is going to be a top 3 receiver.
Absolutely. We finally get into some good games. The Tennessee Titans beat the Baltimore Ravens in overtime, 30-24. A couple things I take away from this game. J.K. Dobbins got the lion's share of the carries for the Ravens today, so that's good to see. Mark Andrews was back at his old tricks. Over on the Tennessee side, Derrick Henry does Derrick Henry things. He's an absolute beast when he gets moving downhill. A.J. Brown quiet for most of the first half.
That touchdown was
nuts. From like 11 yards out, running through four tacklers. Like, A.J. Brown did his Derrick Henry impression. He probably did his beast mode impression as a receiver.
Yeah.
Just guys had him wrapped and he was just running through it. Caught the ball at about the 9 yard line. And I think four guys had a shot at him and he just ran through it. He's an absolute animal. So,
yeah, I love AJ Brown. And I mean, when I saw the run, I'm like, dude, this guy's got to have what, 20 some points by now. And you know, I was watching Red Zone. So I checked and I'm like, oh, 14. But I mean, That run after the catch was a thing of beauty. Mark Andrews, is good to see him back, but Lamar Jackson is the problem here. Mm-hmm. He's not growing as a thrower. Defenses are definitely stopping him from running, and that has become a problem for Lamar. Lamar can't be Lamar without his running ability, but teams are figuring out how to stop that. So what is he doing? He's forcing the ball in spots. I mean, Marquise Brown hasn't helped him, because Marquise Brown has dropped a ton of balls. Mm-hmm. And J.K. Dobbins is the truth. I mean, he's so good. He always falls ahead for, it seems like, 4 yards if it looks like it's going to be negative. And yet they keep this rotation going. I know they gave Dobbins more carries, but next week is going to be Gus Edwards with 15 or 16. They need to feed Dobbins, kind of like how the Lions are like, okay, Swift is our running back. Mm-hmm. The Baltimore Ravens need to look and be like, okay, Dobbins our guy. We can't hold this back long enough. I mean, everybody else has seen it.
I wonder if it's a pass protection thing, maybe.
It could be, yeah. But I mean, Lamar, he needs to get better. Otherwise, this team isn't going to make it far in the playoffs. We saw Tennessee bump him out last year. And this year could be the same story, even if they make the playoffs.
When I think of the Baltimore Ravens, you know, I think of like the Ravens or Steelers games, just, you know, from 7-8 years ago when both those teams would show up and just try to knock each other's heads off. And this is not what the Ravens do anymore. I still think of the Ravens in that aspect, that light, that, you know, just a tough, tough team. They're not tough anymore. When they get punched in the mouth, they don't respond. I think they need a Ray Lewis type. Like if Patrick Queen can turn into that voice, that tough, like, hey, we're not going to let this happen. He's a damn good linebacker. He's doing an amazing job for them.
Yeah.
But I don't think they have that guy that's going to get in everybody's face and say, this isn't what we do. Let's go make a stop. And I think they just kind of miss a little bit of that.
I think Calais Campbell is that guy, mm-hmm. and he was out today. So that was a big loss for them. He's a vocal leader. He's a great player on the field. So that definitely hurt him.
Mm-hmm. The Houston Texans, 27. The New England Patriots, 20. New England Patriots, 4-6. That is not what the Pats have been used to. This one, Deshaun, in the first half was absolutely killing them. Absolutely killing the Pats. I was happy to see Damian Harris finally get a touchdown. He's been getting the bulk of the yardage on the ground lately, but he just wasn't that guy near the end zone. So, good for him. Put one in the end zone there. Other than that, I mean, there's just nothing much for me.
You're telling me Demir Bird isn't? I agree with you. I mean, Deshaun Watson had a heck of a game ever since Bill O'Brien has left. Deshaun Watson has finally blossomed into a good player. Brandon Cooks is finally blossoming into a good role player. I mean, he's not the same Brandon Cooks as we all thought he was, but he is a good wide receiver three for a team. Fuller kind of had a meh game, but I mean, without David Johnson, Duke Johnson is not a good running back. Yeah, he's not.
They don't have an answer at running back. They have a bunch of They have a bunch of good role players at receiver. Yeah. They have a bunch of really below average tight end production. Occasionally you get a game like this from Akins, 83 yards, five catches, but
it's really, all
it is Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
If he's not going to go, if he's off, it's over. So,
yep, agree. And I mean, whoever comes in as a GM and head coach, you have that quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a piece that you can build around. The issue is you don't have any picks to build around them.
Yeah, those were all given away.
Yeah. And it is a free agency for running backs, though. So you could see a guy like Aaron Jones or somebody like that end up in Houston.
Absolutely. The Texans did the absolute right thing here, too. The Pats, as predicted, I think they finally found their formula. They're going to play smash mouth football and then try to slow you down enough on defense. The Texans, though, with the way Watson came out gunning to start the game, they really forced the Pats out of that. They made Cam pass more than I think the Pats would want to, and this is the result. The next game we're going to go into, the Denver Broncos beat the Miami Dolphins 20-13. We saw Tua get sat down here in the second half.
Not injury related, thank God. I mean, I have a team where I have Tua and Burrow as my starting quarterbacks, and thank goodness I didn't lose both of them to injury. Tua, it was more play. I mean, he's 11 for 20 for 83 and a touchdown. And maybe they kind of saw him panicking and get a little scared, because the Denver defense can definitely get after people. So, yeah, that my takeaway is Tua's fine. Thank goodness. And Fitzpatrick didn't really do much to help himself. Mm-hmm. It kind of be like, okay, I need this job back.
Yeah, they put him in hoping there would be a bit of a spark. The Dolphins offense was kind of sputtering their way through the first half. Parker ended the game 6 for 61, but nothing crazy there for the Dolphins. As far as the Broncos go, as of right now, Tim Patrick's the best receiver on this team.
He's not.
He is not the best receiver on this team. Let me rephrase this. Tim Patrick is the receiver that is producing on a more regular basis,
because he doesn't get the main coverage. He doesn't get the main look.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. I mean, there.
Judy is getting a huge target share, and he's screaming breakout game, even though he had one not long ago. Drew Lock is not playing good. I mean, Drew Lock is
just above 50% completion percentage today.
I like Drew Lock, and I liked him at the end of last year. I was wrong. Drew Lock is not a good quarterback, and it pains me because Judy is open a lot. You watch these games. Judy's sitting there wide open. He's still a phenomenal route runner, and you're giving him 8 targets, and he catches 3 of 8 targets. Those misses aren't on Judy. Those are Drew Lock missing him. Mm-hmm. Judy is a great receiver. I think next year is his opportunity for that huge breakout. But as long as Drew Lock is quarterback, I feel Judy's going to struggle. And same with Noah Fant. Noah Fant is on just the edge of being a top 5. I was going to say,
Noah Fant could be the next Jimmy Graham, the next George Kittle. You know, those big years of Jimmy Graham. He's got that sort of talent. He just needs the right passer to go along with it. So we'll move over to the Los Angeles Chargers beating the New York Jets 34-28. The Jets remain winless. Joe Flacco does his best Joe Flacco impression, goes 15 for 30, throws 2 touchdowns and a pick. He honestly kept the game probably closer than a lot of people thought, but there's really not a ton of weapons here for the Jets. On the other side of things, Justin Herbert, 49 passes. He completed 37 out of them. Another 350-plus yard game, 3 touchdowns. This kid is an absolute stud. I was listening to a podcast this week where they did a redraft of the rookies Superflex version, and Herbert went 101.
Yep. He is now ahead of Burrow and Tua easily.
And this is before the injury.
Yep. In my nerds ranking, he is going to be top 5 overall out of everybody. So, I mean, Herbert is, even with his haircut, even though he looks like a 11-year-old kid now.
He gave the strength coach gave him that, by the way.
The strength coach.
Remember the combine, the guy that was sitting there doing the bench press, and he was the guy yelling in their face. That guy gave him his haircut.
Okay. It makes sense. It now makes sense. And you know what really irritates me about this is Joe Flacco is throwing deep.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't Adam Gase letting Darnold throw deep? That is my biggest issue. It's like you have this old ass dude throwing deep balls, and yet you don't let this young gun type. Mm-hmm. He's got the arm for it, and just let him do him. I am I'm very upset by this. And
but because Darnold of those deep balls, we got to see Mims a little bit today. When yeah. some contested
Mims
passes.
Is a good receiver.
He is. He looks like the next thing. Chris Herndon's alive. He caught some passes this week. He's not dead. I thought he was dead because he's been on my rosters now for a few years, and I'm pretty sure he was dead because
somebody's catfishing you. I think. I don't think it's Chris Herndon.
Holy hell! But on the other side, Keenan Allen, 16 catches, 145 yards, touchdown, and that touchdown he caught. Herbert is a man for throwing that pass. I mean, that window was that big.
Well, so
nobody's watching.
So anymore, arm talent wise in the NFL, just strictly arm talent. Top three have to be Mahomes, Herbert, and Josh Allen. Like, arm talent. Big.
Are you talking? Are you putting accuracy as part of that?
Kyler would be up there for accuracy. Then,
yeah, I think Herbert, I put Kyler over. If I'm just saying guys can throw it over the mountains like Uncle Rico, yes, I'll put Josh Allen in that conversation. If I'm accounting for accuracy.
Accuracy, Josh
Allen. I think
Allen's
I got yeah. Murray a little bit ahead of Josh Allen. Because he can okay, let's talk about that throw that Kyler made the other week where he threw it up to Deshaun. Literally, there was a 10x10 window that ball could have went to, and that's exactly where he put it.
He was running to his left too.
9 out of 10 times, it probably doesn't land in that window, but that one time it did. And obviously it helps when you have that awesome of a receiver to go help you, but there's not a ton of guys that can make that throw. But yeah, Herbert can make all kinds of fun throws.
Herbert and obviously is the truth. Yeah. And okay, I posted on Twitter tonight. You know, there's a lot of people on the victory train for Herbert saying, I got him right. I said it this time. How about this? You got it right. Let's acknowledge the fact, okay, you got it right for your listeners. Your listeners are thankful for that. Let's move past it and move on to your next takes. Let's not focus on what you got right. Let's worry about how you got stuff wrong. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, what makes a better fantasy industry person. There's a lot of horn tooting on Twitter lately, and it's been really irritating me because I feel like everybody's just trying to get noticed. You know what I notice is when you work on being better.
Well, here you go. Here you go, Tyler. Back in February, I did a video breakdown of Mr. Herbert.
Yep.
I was very high on him. I was praising him. I thought that he was very undervalued as a whole throughout the community. Yay. You know what? Just a few years ago, I had Josh Rosen as my number one quarterback in the class.
A lot of people did. I mean, he was my third, I think. I had Darnold, Baker, and I want to say Rosen.
Looking back, it's a rougher class than we thought. We really thought that class was going to come in and change the game a little bit.
Josh Allen is the one that comes out the winner when everybody had him in like the second round of Superflex leagues.
Yeah, they're like, I'll take him at like 13, 14.
So I get you want to be excited that you got something right. And I get you want to be noticed that you got somebody right. Your listeners and followers notice. They notice you getting stuff right, but they also want you to get other things right. You just can't sit here and be like, hey, remember that time I got that player right for you? Yeah. You're welcome. I may have gotten 100 other things wrong, but I have one time. That one time. No, that's not how it works. People,
well, you know what, Tyler? In a few short months, we're going to be nailing these prospects, absolutely crushing them.
Yes, so, and it's going to be harder this year because the tape is going to be very limited.
Yeah. It's it will be
unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
But no, and a lot of people are wrong on Herbert. There's a lot of people wrong. And I get you on, like, I was laughed at too for my Herbert takes. You and Doug were kind of laughing at me for saying, I think Herbert is better than Tua at a point. And you guys were like, oh, come on. I mean, Tua's Tua. But the thing is I think all three of these players can be great. And I think in the end, there's going to be a chance where, like, okay, Tua's this crazy accurate passer that is going to be breaking Drew Brees' records of accuracy. And then Herbert's the Mahomes style where he's thrown all over the yard and you can build. He doesn't need many outstanding weapons. He can make people be better. And then you're going to have Burrow, who's just overall good. Like,
I was going to say, Burrow's going to be the Tom Brady of the group.
Yeah.
Not saying he's going to have the championships, all that stuff. But Brady has never had the big cannon. He's never been that guy that can just rifle it through, these tiny, tiny windows. He's going to be the guy that's going to go up to the line. He's going to diagnose exactly what the defense is trying to do. He's going to outsmart you, and he's got just enough athleticism to move around in the pocket and find the windows to make the throws.
Yep. And the thing is that's spot on because Burrow's got that fire. You can see it in the game. He's got the energy that Brady has. You know, if you mess up, he's going to come up in your face and say, hey, let's get on this. Like Burrow is a difference maker in that aspect. Herbert's the quiet, you know, kind of quiet spoken, but man, plays it, shows it on the field. Now we'll get back into the games. Kalen Ballage, what the hell? I knew a lot of people that liked him in college.
Yeah.
And all it took was getting rid of Gase. Come on, Sam.
That seems to be the formula. That's honest to God. That's strictly what still gives me hope for Sam Darnold. I've seen from Sam Darnold this year in the very limited action has not been good. I was really, really hoping to see him progress. You've seen everything but that. So I'm hoping that once he gets out from under that Gase thumb, maybe, and it's probably going to be with a second team, and he's going to have to play the backup role for a bit. And, you know, things happen. So hopefully he can get to see the field at some point and he gets to resurrect that career a little bit. The next game, the Colts 34, the Green Bay Packers 31, overtime. MVS with a really bad turnover there in overtime gave the Colts a really good field position. They just kind of chipped away, got a couple extra yards and then kicked the field goal to win it. But
yeah, the specs. Overall,
I mean, Taylor finally got a bunch of carries. He got 22 carries a day, turned that into 90 yards. His best game of his rookie campaign so far. Aaron Jones only got 10 carries. What the hell, Green Bay? This guy's electric. Give him the ball. Good. I know Davante Adams is a stud and you want to pepper him with like 55 targets a game. Give Aaron Jones the damn ball. Get Jamal Williams off the field. Tired of seeing him. Beat it with number 30. My other takeaway, Michael Pittman. Yeah. Here we go, baby.
Yep. Yeah, and Pittman is going to be a guy that he looks so good on the field. And he's a guy that's going to be, I feel, a wide receiver two for your team, and you're going to feel comfortable every single week putting him in as your wide receiver two. He may only get you 60 yards and four catches, but having that floor, I think, with him is safe, and he is always a threat for the end zone and always a threat with Phil Rivers just getting 10 targets, 11 targets. Pittman is the wide receiver one for the Colts, and it has definitely passed on. T.Y. Hilton is not it anymore. I loved Hilton in his prime with Luck, but Philip Rivers is not Luck, and T.Y. Hilton is not T.Y. Hilton of 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's true. I'll say this. Pittman is A.J. Brown light. His run after the catch ability is really, really good. It's not top notch, but it's really, really good. You saw that they ran a crosser with him. You know, that guy's trailing him, and he got the ball, took it upfield, made a couple guys miss, got some blocks, obviously, but he made his way into the end zone.
He's what we want Mike Evans to do after the catch.
Yeah.
Except Mike Evans just catches it and falls.
Yeah.
Pittman is the exact opposite. Yeah. He can actually do things after the catch.
Yeah. His legs work.
Yes.
Oh, man. But overall, that was a fun game to watch. It was a fun back and forth. And I like seeing Aaron Rodgers and Philip Rivers there after the game, you know, standing there shooting the old breeze with each other. You know, those guys, they haven't played each other a ton in their careers. Obviously one spent his entire career in the AFC, the other in the NFC, but they both have been in this league a long time. I'm sure they've crossed paths a few times. So they have that respect for each other. Next game, another fun one, the Dallas Cowboys 31, Minnesota 28. Andy Dalton looked like a functional quarterback, 22 of 32, 203 yards, three touchdowns, one pick. Zeke finally had in my memory, his first decent game of the year, went for over 100 yards. But they, you know, on the Minnesota side of things, Dalvin does Dalvin. He's over 100 yards. I think it was what, 115. And the Minnesota Vikings receiver corps keeps playing this ping pong game, your week, my week. I think Thielen has now stacked 2 weeks back to back where he's kind of been the alpha dog, but Justin Jefferson is
3 for 86 and a touchdown still for Jefferson off 5 targets. Mm-hmm. So Jefferson, I watched the game a lot of times. He was always open and it was just a Thielen game. So I think Thielen was kind of the main point for this type of game against the defense. Jefferson, he burned a lot of the DBs. I mean, his touchdown.
The deep corner out.
Yeah, he saw the safety kind of pushing towards the middle of the field, and he's like, okay, you're gonna give me the outside. I'm gonna act like I'm coming in. You're gonna kind of stall, and that's gonna buy me enough time to catch this pass by Kirk Cousins. And Jefferson is a very good receiver. I can't wait for you guys to pour water all over yourself for this water bet, and it's gonna be fun to watch. We'll have to do it on a live stream. And hopefully I just didn't jinx myself, because there's still a lot of football left.
There is a lot of football left. Another rookie receiver made a fantastic end zone grab here. CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
I think the thing that kind of most likely sealed this for you this year was the Dak injury. If Dak doesn't go down, especially by this point, I've seen CeeDee continue to grow. He's just playing with not dysfunctional at this point. Andy was very functional, you know, today anyways.
DiNucci was.
I mean, he had like four decent throws. He had a couple flashes that game.
Lamb and Jefferson and Judy are all fantastic receivers. Yeah. And I think the latter of the two, you're going to see shine in 2021 when Dak comes back, and maybe Denver picks up, maybe like a Matt Ryan, or because Judy with Matt Ryan would be insane. I mean, that is the Matt Ryan style of quarterback or of receiver.
This last entire rookie class, really.
Lamb,
Jefferson, Claypool. Judy, T. Higgins. I really look forward to seeing T. Higgins grow with Burrow. Yeah. The running backs with Swift, Akers, Dobbins. You know, these guys are real.
Edwards-Helaire is having a good game tonight.
Yep. Edwards-Helaire is another one. Jonathan Taylor finally had a good week. The quarterbacks look great. Just no tight ends. You know, whatever.
Hey, Cole Kmet in like 2 years. I will say,
Bryant has had a couple games.
He's going to be really good once Hooper is gone.
So, you know, it's the tight end class. We know what the tight end class is.
Next year's tight end class. Ooh-wee. Ooh, I mean, we lost Penn State's Fairmuth or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Fairmuth.
We lost him to injury this year, and he will be. He'll probably enter the NFL draft still, and he is another one. He's the tight end two of this class.
Yeah, why are you gonna come back to an 0-4 Penn State team?
Yeah, who is 0-5
now?
Insanely overrated. Yeah. Same with the Gophers, apparently.
Move.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun class to go over. Like we talked about, there's going to be a lot of limited tape for us and a lot of looking back at 2019 for these guys. Like Rashad Bateman, heck of a 2019. Not so good 2020.
It's a great audible reaction to it.
Yeah, like what are we getting here? I think Bateman's a good receiver. He'll be just fine. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's going to be a little harder to hit on these guys. It's gonna be a little harder to kind of see what we got.
Yeah, yes and no.
Wrong. If we're going what 2020 Twitter is, nope, Tim, you're wrong. I'm right. I win.
That's fine. We'll see. I'll say that when I watch tape to scout these prospects, I'm looking for traits. The only way I go and look, you know, I go box score hunting is for like Division II players or Division I AA guys. I'll go to box scores and look like season totals. Be like, okay, this, you know, like a Terrence West, for instance, when he was in Towson,
the guy ran for
almost 3,000 yards. And I was like, okay, obviously he's doing something. Let's go look at this. And, you know, that's Matt Breda, you know, Georgia Southern. When I saw his stat, I was like, oh, what's this guy doing? Went and looked at him. I was like, ooh, this guy could be something. So that's about the only time I'll look for box scores. If you get caught up in the box, or like if you didn't watch Joe Burrow, obviously is the real deal. But if you didn't know any better, a Hawaii quarterback, these guys that throw for 20,000 yards in 4 years.
Cole McDonald, who had a heck of an arm and looked really good. I really like Cole McDonald.
But it's more of the system than anything.
Yep. You
know, they spread it out five wide, and that's all they do is just throw. So they start stacking up these stats, and over a four-year career at Hawaii, they throw for over 20,000 yards. You're like, this kid could be the next John Elway. Not really.
Like somebody we know of, Mason Rudolph.
There you go.
Who had years of the ability to stack on stats and all this stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the Big 12, not to mention.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, Tim. Should we head to the Patreon?
I was going to say, you want to hit this game up that's going on right now real quick before we get to the Patreon?
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is really good on limited carries. Tyreek Hill is good. Give him more deep targets. Yeah. Nelson Aguilar should never left Philly, or should he have? I mean, that dude could catch a baby falling out of a building any day now.
Apparently, I think that was his off-season training regimen. He just had somebody just throw babies
out of a window.
Yeah, one of his buddies broke into a hospital, went up to whatever the fourth floor, and were just pitching babies out of the nursery out of the window.
It made him panic more and focus. Yeah. Like, oh crap! If I drop,
when Carr uncorks this 40-yard bomb, he's up there, and it just morphs like into a little baby in the air. And he's
like on Little Giants with the toilet paper. Fella. How he imagined the toilet paper. Yeah. It's just a baby floating in the air. Yeah.
It's just a little baby and a bassinet, and he just comes down with it, secures it every time now.
It completely makes sense now. I mean, at first I was really confused on what was going on here, but now with this whole science behind it, it makes complete sense.
It does. So with that being said, yeah, let's go ahead. Let's jump over to the Patreon. Let's remind you guys of what the Patreon is. For $5 a month, you can join the Patreon for Dynasty Happy Hour. You get to do the live AMAs after every week's episode. You then get entered into a t-shirt giveaway every month, as well as a spot in a Top Loaders card break. So two chances to win something every month. Plus, you get to shoot the breeze with us.
Literally, no makeup.
Anything.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, and you get to see us sans makeup. Just come, cover your eyes, essentially.
And don't worry. We're going to start going live. We're going to start recording all three of us, the normal crew, weekly. Come after week 16. Mm-hmm. We'll be back on the reg. So, I mean, we'll figure out something to do with Chase, right?
Yeah, so.
All right. Thanks, guys.